What we'll be sharing today will be probably it's a life message. It's the difference of evil spirits ruling you or the difference of the Holy Spirit ruling you. It's one of those kinds of messages, and you will easily be able to see as we progress into this. It would be if I were to be teaching about having your mind renewed, it would be the fourth message that we would be bringing on that. But what we're really trying to teach on today is Teaspoons to Wheelbarrows, a series of messages about the blessings of God. And it would be the fifth message in that, and it will be in both series. This particular message will be in both of those series, because you will not have your mind renewed without understanding what we're talking about today, and neither will you receive the blessings of God without understanding what we're talking about today. And so it's that kind of a message. It's kind of a message that you must understand and must have imparted into your life. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. And I want you to go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 13. And I will be there in a moment. We began this series and this look several weeks back. We talked about God's blessings, and we've centered on finances. And it's not a teaching on particularly on finances. It's a teaching on the blessings of God. We've used finances to look at it because I think that's something that we can all relate to. We can all relate to times in our finances where we need God to bless us, and we need to understand the economy of God concerning finances, but we also need to understand the economy of God concerning our marriage, don't we? We need to understand the economy of God concerning our children. We need to understand the economy of God concerning our church. We need to understand the economy of God in our home, in our workplace. So it's not just a message on teaching about finances, although we've used finances because it's something that we can all relate to just about all the time. And I haven't ever had so many people come to me as when I began this message, telling me how their finances were being attacked. And so we began this teaching, and I want to tell you some good things too. That over this past week, and I shared it Wednesday night back here at prayer, that I have never had so many people to come to me as come to me these last week or two and say, hey, I want to bless so and so, but I don't want them to know that it's coming from me. I want it to come through the church, and I want you to give this to them. And they would give me. Somebody's given me a blank check. Somebody gave me $100. It's just been such a blessing to understand that people are being blessed in our fellowship and doing what the Bible says to do, not only be blessed, but be a blessing to the body of Christ. And it's been such a wonderful thing. And so I see some things happening, and it's just good. It's just so good to see these things happening. Again, this would be the fifth message that we would be bringing. And what we're entitling this one today, And we're asking seven questions. We're asking seven questions to invoke the blessings of God on our life. This would be the fifth question that we would ask. And the title of today's message is, Can I Disassociate with Negative Influences? Can I disassociate with negative influences? And I could change the word influences to spirits. And you'll understand that in just a second. Can I disassociate from negative spirits? We need to learn how to disassociate from negative spirits. The first message is Jesus Christ really the Lord of my life? The second question is, do I have a plan or a vision for the future? You say you got to have a plan and a vision for the future, no matter what it is. If you don't do something, if your marriage is a mess today and you don't make a plan to get out of that mess and do what's necessary to get from point A to point B, you'll remain in that mess all the days of your life. You need a plan to get out of the mess in your marriage. You need a plan to get out of the financial mess that you're in. You need whatever the blessing that you want from God, you need to understand that there needs to be a plan to come out of that thing. All right, then we understand that do I have wise work habits? Now, again, foolish work habits will do as much damage to your home as it will do to your finances. Do I have wise work habits? Come into every aspect of life. We read the scripture where the lazy man doesn't work and he doesn't reap a harvest, and that's going to put unnecessary pressure upon the home. But on the other extreme, there's the man that works all the time, and he puts as much stress on his home because he gets under stress, and he suffers things as well. Do I have wise work habits? And I use the word wise because how does wisdom come? If you lack wisdom, ask God. Wisdom comes from the Lord. We're not talking about the worldly wisdom. We're talking about the wisdom of God. We need to understand God's economy about working. What does God say about working? So we talked about that. The fourth one, the fourth question is, can I change? That was the last message. We looked at the book of Exodus and Moses said, Lord, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. If we won't change, we'll never have the blessings of God in our lives. Now that's kind of there's nearly an hour on each one of those. But I can't recap. I don't even want to. I just want to get us back in some things that we've said. And I want to get on the fifth one today. Can I disassociate with negative influences or negative spirits? Now, we've got to learn this. And it's nothing, I'm not saying anything you haven't heard me say before. You've heard me talk about the seed in them. You've heard me talk about how that we will inherit negative things into our lives by our heritage. The seed is in them. And the thing that will break that thing coming into our heritage, the thing that will break it is the blood of Jesus Christ. We've talked about that. You've heard me talk about birds of a feather flock together. When we are around people that aren't good for us, that we understand that we're drawn to them for some reason, and we're going to just... I'm not saying anything that I haven't said before, but I want to put it in a term that I think will stick with you. What I want to really talk today about is the transference of spirits. The transference of spirits. Now, that's not a spooky thing, and I'm going to make it very simple to you in just a minute. But reading in the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, beginning at verse 20, he who walks with wise men will be wise. Flip side of that, but the companion of fools will what? Suffer harm. Let's do it again. He who walks with wise men will be wise. Let's all say that. He who walks with wise men will be wise. But he whose companion are fools, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Let's say that. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. That's the word of the Lord. Wise men, again, they're getting their wisdom from God. They're not getting their wisdom from the world. There's a wisdom, James says, that is of the world, and it's earthy, and it's devilish, and it's sensual. But he says there is a wisdom that is from above. Now, that's the wisdom that we're talking about here. You're walking with people that understand the wisdom that is from above. On the flip side of that, you can be walking with people that are the opposite, are fools, and they get their wisdom from the ways of the world, and all that's going to come when you walk with those people is suffering. All that's going to come from being around those people is poverty and harm and the suffering. So this is the point of reference that we're coming from, and I'm going to read the next verse in just a second, but I want to say that the blessings of God will eventually leave you if you associate with negative spirits. The blessings of God will eventually leave you if you associate with negative spirits. And just because you touch a negative spirit doesn't mean the blessings of God is going to be immediately removed from your life. But if you make a companion, if you stay there, if you walk with them, the blessings of God will leave your life. Now, the next verse says, I want to say why now. Why is it if I hang around with fools, will bad things come my way? The next verse tells us why. Verse 21 says, adversity, why is this? Because adversity pursues sinners. But the righteous will be rewarded with what? Prosperity. If you're walking with fools, if you're walking with people that are streetwise or worldly wise, then what you're going to have reap is a whirlwind, because the whirlwind follows them. The bad things are coming. But if you're walking with wise people, then what's following wise people is prosperity. Everything that you need to make your journey prosperous. Everything that you need to do what God's called you to do. Now, that's where I'm coming from today. Now, are we all together so far? Okay. I don't want to frighten you by talking about spirits. Because there's nothing frightening about a spirit. If you have the blood of Jesus Christ upon your life. And you have power over the devil. That's one thing that the blood of Jesus Christ does, is give you power over the devil. A lot of things the blood of Jesus Christ does, but that's definitely one of the things that he gives you power over the devil. And the first thing that I want to do in talking about this is I want to remove any fear. I want to remove any spookiness here. When we're talking about the transference of spirits, I want to make it very simple to you. I want to make it very open to you, that it won't be a spooky thing, a spooky teaching. And sometimes we try to make things too spooky and too complicated. This is very simple. A very, very simple message. Most of us have children. And some of our children are little and some of our children aren't so little. But whether they're little or whether they're not little, if Lance goes out and plays with a bad influence on the block or makes some bad influences and meets some bad people in school or at the nursery or in the first grade, second grade, or in college, or in life, if he does that, and he gets around a person that is rebellious, he gets a person that yells and screams and hollers at his parents, he gets at a person that does not obey, it's around a person that does not obey his parents and walks in rebellion and the things that are not right, what will eventually happen to Lance? Will he become rebellious? Will he become, at some point in time, come home and yell at me? Will he be doing the things that I tell him not to do? Well, what has happened to him is that the spirit has been transferred from the people that he is around, a rebellious spirit, and it has been transferred upon him. Now, we always want the other to happen, but when you get around one of those kinds of people, there's usually more. And the prevailing spirit that is there will eventually overpower that spirit. And that spirit will get upon that child. That spirit will get upon that person. Now, I don't care who you are or what kind of a job you've done as a parent. I don't care how wise you are, how strong you are in the Lord. If your children get around negative spirits, that negative spirit is going to get on them. That negative spirit is going to influence them. And they're going to move into whatever that negative spirit is. Now, let me use a couple of more examples. How about an individual, boy or girl, who is normally a very obedient child, maybe been raised in church all their lives, normally a very submitted child, but get with some people and go, let's say, to a rock concert. They go to the rock concert, and within the next couple of weeks after that rock concert, their hair begins to change, their clothes begins to change, their attitudes begin to change. They go through a metamorphosis. They will withdraw and cocoon. And when they come out of that cocoon, they will not be the same thing. It's a negative metamorphosis. They will come out of that thing in rebellion. They will come out of that thing desiring sex. They will become promiscuous. They will come out of that thing desiring drugs. They will come out of that thing being rebellious and disobedient and moving in a wrong direction. Now, what has happened now to this person? Has there been a transference of spirits at that rock concert? The spirit of those rock stars, the spirit of the rock stars' followers, their disciples, has transferred to that person, and there has been a negative influence. This is not spooky, is it? You see, we're just using a term, the transference of spirit, because now that has got upon that child. Child is normally obedient. And some of us have experienced, I experienced this. Child that's normally obedient, does what the parents says to do, does not walk in rebellion, but then comes to a point in time, maybe saves his purity all through high school. Now, this didn't happen to me, okay? But maybe, I mean, I saved my purity, let me make sure. Okay? This is the first woman, all right? This is the first woman. This is it! Okay. Let me. All right. There I was. Got through high school. And went to college. And in college, there was things that happened to children. The child that is normally obedient and not rebellious, all of a sudden, you start seeing a change happen. Rebellion begins to set in. Become promiscuous. They lose their virginity. They all of a sudden begin to doubt the things of God. Because you see, at college, there's a spirit of philosophy and intellect. And that spirit gets on them. And it changes them. And all of a sudden, they've changed. And there's been a spirit that's been transferred to them. Now, let's see if we're together. Are you in agreement so far with me? Let me see your hands, please. All right, so this isn't spooky. This isn't spooky. But what we, as adults, neglect to understand and do is we see this happening to our children. We know that if Johnny plays with Sam, and Sam's a bad kid, all right, then that bad kid's going to influence my child in the negative. Now, but if Johnny plays with Billy, and Billy's a good kid, and he's obedient to his parents, and does what his parents says to do, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir, then what's going to happen to Johnny? Will he be positively influenced? Because there's a spiritual transference that's come to a positive. Now Johnny has a positive influence upon him. All right? The child now that goes to college, he goes to a college where the influence is Jesus Christ, where the people there are basically seeking the will of the Lord. And what will happen now to that person? There'll be a transference of spirits, and there'll be a positive transference of spirit. Rather than going to a rock concert, a child comes to the praise concert where maybe the house of prayer is praising God. Now what happens to that child? There's a positive transference of spirit. See, it's very, very simple. But what we do as parents is we know that's going to happen to our children, but we forget that it's going to happen to us. We forget that if we get around the wrong folks, what's it going to do to us? Help me. This isn't common. We get around people that have a negative spirit on them, a bad spirit on them. Will that bad spirit be transferred to us? Now, I'm not talking about witnessing to them. I'm not talking about going by and visiting them and loving them. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about walking with them. I'm talking about making them a companion. What will happen? Get around a person who spends money. Maybe he's got it to spend. Doesn't matter. But I don't have it to spend. And I get around a person that spends money, goes to expensive places to eat, goes and buys expensive clothes, drives expensive cars. What's going to get on me? Am I going to want to go spend money like that when I really don't have it to spend? I get around a man, and a man has a spirit on him of adultery, and I get that spirit on me. What do I have to be warring within? See that spirit. What we don't understand as parents is that's happening to us all the time. And if you will not disassociate with that spirit, it will get upon us and it will influence you to a bad side and it will change your life and the blessings of God will eventually be cut off from you. We're talking about the blessings of God. We're talking about being renewed in our mind at the same time. If you will not disassociate from those people, you cannot get renewed in your mind. Can you disassociate from negative spirits? Now, it's a very similar thing. They come here. People comes into this place, the praise, the worship is anointed. The spirit that prevails here is the spirit of Jesus Christ. And people in here clapping and dancing and worshiping God. Well, what's gonna get on you? Am I right? You'll be wanting to clap. And you'll be wanting to. Now, you might not do it, but you'll be wanting to. Because there's a transference of spirits that happens. The Word of God is anointed, and it comes forth, and it has come forth with a convicting power, and all of a sudden, those bondages that person's been under, there's a transference of spirit that happens to that person, and they'll come and they'll change their life. And it's all due to what you're around. If you're around bad forces, bad's going to get on you. If you're around good forces, good's going to get on you. Saul had a bad spirit on him, didn't he? And it was sin of God. And I don't understand all that. God separated David from Saul. Think about it. And then God couldn't spend time with Saul. Who could David spend time with? Think about it. Who do you spend time with in your wilderness experiences? Talk to me. All right? Then who do you become like? David spent time with God and became like God. Had a heart for God. So this is what I'm trying to teach us today. This is what I'm trying to show us today. Again, we're not saying anything we haven't said before. Just trying to use this and understand this principle. Now, what I want to do is talk about a few things that the negative spirit can do, the negative transfer of spirit can do in our homes, in our lives. I want to give us three biblical examples where individuals received a negative spirit. I'm going to give you five ways to get that thing off of you and to keep it off of you. All right? Some of the things that the negative influence will do that you'll be able to know if it's around you or on you. First thing is it will destroy your home. You need to understand the negative influences, bad spirits hanging around, wrong spirits hanging around, the wrong people will destroy your home. I just use the illustration. If I run with a man, if I walk with a man, companion with a man who is in adultery and lives in adultery, then I'll have to war with that thing. And I think us men know that I just said the truth. Now, also the same with the women. Sir, you need to woman, first of all, you need to be praying for your husband. You need to be praying for him that the spirit will, that the negative influence, God will hedge about them, that God will send angels, that God will watch over them. You need to be praying for your husband. Now, for the woman, the same things happen, sirs. Don't be dumb. Don't be ignorant. Know that if she gets around the wrong people, then there's a transference of spirits that will happen to her. And if these people are living in immorality, that's going to come on her. If these people are living in some form of sin, that's going to, whatever that she's, and you need to pray for her. And if you don't, then you're giving a place to the devil, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. If I hang around with people that talk negatively about the things of God, what will eventually I start doing? Talking negatively about, if my wife is hanging around people that talk negatively about the things of God, what will eventually happen to my wife? And there's a division in our home, do you see? And I want what I'm trying to say is, wives and husbands, if there are problems in your home, you need to understand and look and see who your husband or your wife is hanging around with. Sometimes my wife gets critical of me. Not very often, but sometimes. And I really don't ever understand why I'm so perfect. But sometimes she gets very... And the first thing I say, who have you been talking to? Sometimes my children get a little wrong. Do some wrong things. Get a little rebellious. Who you been talking to? Who you been with? And normally, you will find that what's happening to them is coming off of another person that they're around. You will find that thing has got on your child, that thing has got on your husband, it's got on your wife, and it's affecting your home. Am I right? Second thing that I just wanted to talk to you, it can be transferred to your children. It can be transferred to your children. You better know where they're going to school. You better know who they're with at school. You better know who's around them. There's a transfer of spirits. Third thing it can do is bad spirits can be translated to people in the church. Can Christians have a devil? You would understand it better if you could understand, can devils have a Christian? Paul says clearly in Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4, talking to the Ephesians, give no place to the devil. Think about it. You give him a place, he'll get you. I'm not talking about being possessed. I'm talking about a negative spirit getting on you. Not getting into theology here. Just telling you what the Bible says. And you need to understand that can get on you. And what that will do is destroy the church. That's why churches have splits. Hello, we know this is true. When people get around and these negative spirits get on us, then we get in division, we get in disarray, and we have splits in the church if it doesn't destroy the church. The hope of that spirit is to destroy the church. But if it can't destroy it, it desires to split it. Now, let me say a couple of things. If you come to this church, if you come to this fellowship, then you will have to have the mind that the leadership in this fellowship has. Now, what does that mean? It means that you can't come in here with another vision. You can't come in here and say, well, I think this is what we're supposed to be doing. You need to get in line with the vision that this church has. And the vision of this church is to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. That's the simple vision of this church, is to conform a people to the image of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of things that happen in this conforming. We know God's going to have us doing a lot of things, and we've got a 50-year plan here. We've got a 50-year vision as to what we feel God has told us to do. And that's our vision. Now, if you don't have a like vision, all you will do here is be dissatisfied, unhappy, and bring in division here. And you've got a different spirit from me. And you won't be happy. And if you cause dissensions here, and I never had to do this, if you cause dissensions here and problems here, I'll have to ask you to leave. I've never had to ask anybody to leave. They just left. But I will not allow you to come in and hurt this body. We have worked too hard. We've laid down our lives. It's cost us too much of our life, too much of our family, too much criticism, too much blood, too much sweat, too much money to let anybody come in here and hurt it. And so it can come in and harm a body. So that's the third thing. The fourth thing that I want to say here is that negative spirits can be transferred to you concerning your finances or any aspect of your life. When you get around people, you get around negative influences that are moving in a wrong, spending too much money, critical. When you get around negative influences that want to go in another direction, that say your marriage should be doing this, and that's not what the Bible says. When you get around a spirit like that, then that's what's going to come and get on you. And this isn't spooky now, is it? I'm trying desperately. Randy, I'm not being spooky, am I? Okay, I'm trying desperately not to be spooky spiritual here. This is just real, folks. And this is something that I'm putting it in a word, in a way I think that we can hear it. Now, those are four things. That's enough of those things. And I feel like you can look and see where your children are, where your marriage is, where your finances are, or whatever. You need to see who you're around, and could it be influencing that what's going on in your life. Now, what I'm showing you is if you are not receiving God's blessings in any area, stop and see who you or your spouse or your children are having companionship with. All right? Now, I want to give you three biblical examples and then five ways to make sure it's not on you and get it off of you and keep it off of you. And then we'll close out. I want you to turn with me in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 11. 1 Kings, chapter 11. What I'm talking about here, what I want you to see here, is never think you're too wise for this spirit to get on you. Never think that you're too wise and too far in God and know too much that you can hang around bad folks and it not affect you. The wisest man, excluding Jesus Christ, that ever lived before you or ever live after you, was David's son, Solomon. That's what the Bible says. And David's son, Solomon, was given all sort of wisdom to lead the people. And here in chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, 1 Kings, now King Solomon loved many foreign women. I think King James Bible says strange women. I won't comment, but he loved a lot of women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women, from the nations concerning, now listen, nations concerning which the Lord had said to the sons of Israel, you shall not associate with them, neither shall they associate with you. Now get that. The Lord said, you don't associate with them, neither do they associate with you. Now you might say, well, you know, these people keep coming around me, trying to associate with me. The Word of God says, don't associate with them, whether you're going after them or they're coming after you. That's the Word of God, folks. You're looking at me kind of mean, some of you, but I want you to know that's the Word of the Lord. And if they get to you or you get to them, there's going to something happen in your heart. Watch. You shall not associate with them, neither shall they associate with you. And how many knows now, I'm not talking about ministry. I'm not talking about being light. I'm not talking about being salt. I'm not talking about Jesus himself said, you are not of the world. You are in the world. But you're not of it. So you got to hear what I'm saying. I'm not talking out of both sides of my mouth. A couple weeks ago, I talked about being light and salt. And going to these places, but don't never go alone. Jesus never sent his disciples by ones. He always sent them at least by twos. And that's what you need to understand. There's safety there. You get around some of these places, some of you might be battling alcohol. You don't go to bars by yourself and witness, folks. Just don't do that. You men that struggle with your flesh as far as immorality, you don't need to go to harlot houses and... and witness and talk to prostitutes alone. You need to guard yourself and protect yourself. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about here is when you walk with these people and you make companions with these people. What happens, he says it too, don't mess with them. They don't mess with you. For they will surely, say surely, surely turn your heart away after their gods. Whatever is on them will get on you and it'll turn you to what they're worshiping. If they're worshiping money and you get around them, you'll start worshiping money. They're worshiping sex and promiscuity and pornography. You get around them, what's going to get on you? Okay. They're rebellious. You get around rebellious kids, rebellious children. You get around them, you fellowship with them, you run with them, you go places with them. You're going to get rebellious because you're going to start worshiping their gods. Your heart will be turned from this God, the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Abba Father, and you will begin to go after their gods. And that's what happened to Solomon. Read on. Turn your heart away after their gods. Solomon held fast to these in love, and it really should be lust. You can't love 700 wives. Some of us have trouble with one. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And look what they did. And his wives turned his heart away. When you get around it, it will eventually turn you away and take you out of God's blessings. Never think you're too smart. Never say that I can stand, because the Bible says, beware when you stand, lest you fall. Never think you're too smart. Never think you know too much. Preachers get into this mess. Oh, I know too much. I'm too smart. But what's been happening to a lot of preachers? Beware when you stand, lest you fall. Now, let's look at another example in the Bible. I want to look at, don't have time, just write down Samson in Judges 16. Samson. Another thing, don't ever think you're too strong. Don't think you're too wise. Don't think you're too strong. One of the strongest men in the Bible is Samson. He's a mighty man of God. Done a great exploit. Samson's a perfect type of a child who disobeys his parents. Ephesians chapter 6 says this, says, children, obey your parents. Why? It's right. And what will happen? You'll live long and things will go well with you. Samson did not live long and things did not go well with Samson. Now, that's the first thing you need to understand is he moved into rebellion and he didn't obey those that had covering over him. Never think that you're too strong and you're too mighty in God. Again, a lot of preachers have suffered this. I'm too strong. I'm too mighty of a man of God. Don't think you're too mighty. You may have the biggest ministry in the whole world and get caught in a motel room with a flat tire. You're never too mighty. All right. What we see in Samson is a gradual transfer of spirits. He with Delilah, and Delilah, Samson was not smart. How many knows that Samson was not smart? He might have been strong, but he was not smart. And Delilah said, Samson, tell me how you get your strength. And Samson said, well, if you take seven new cords, seven green ones, and tie me up in them, I'll be just like any other man. So she did it. And then she called the Philistines, and he broke those cords, like threads, the Bible says, and got away. And then the idiot came back again. Listen, now we're laughing at Samson. Monty, have you ever repeated the same thing? Have you ever? See that? We're laughing at Samson. Folks, sometimes we're not too smart either. I have repeated some sins a couple of times. All right. Then, so Samson comes back again. And Delilah says, oh, you don't love me, honey. Tell me really how you get your strength. Well, if you'll take seven cords that have never been used before. Tie me up in them. He says, I'll be like any other man. So she did it. And he broke those. And same thing. He comes back a third time. She says, honey, you really don't love me. So he decides to let her get a little closer to his place. He says, if you'll take my seven locks. Don't you know he was a sight? Had seven locks of hair. If you'll take my seven locks of hair, make them into a net and stick a pin in them, I'll be just like any other man. Now, she's touching now. She's touching that place now. You see that? She's touching it. So here they are. She does it. She calls the Philistines. He jumps up and same thing. He comes back the fourth time. Now, God didn't remove his spirit from Samson until he went to this sin four times. And it just goes to show you what God's mercy is long suffering. But eventually, even God's mercy runs out. And he, if he loves you, what does the Bible say in the Hebrew say? He will chasten you. All right. So he comes back the fourth time. Honey, if you really love me, you'll tell me your weakness. Okay. My head's never been shaved. I'm a Nazarite from birth. If you'll shave my head, I'll be just like any other man. So the Bible talks about that he laid in her lap. She calls a barber. Barber shaves his head, calls the Philistines. Samson jumps up and shakes himself. And what does he discover? The Spirit's not there. The Spirit's not there. It was a gradual transfer of that spirit of the world, and it got on him. And he just kept fooling around with it, and fooling around with Delilah, fooling around with Delilah. They took him. The Bible even tells you why they wanted to catch him, so they could afflict him and take out his eyes. Do you know why the devil wants to get you? So he can afflict you, give you a hard time, make things bad for you, and take out your eyes of vision, your eyes of seeing what God wants you to do, and your eyes of revelation. He wants to pluck them out. Did that to Samson. And of course, yeah, there was some vengeance at the end. He killed more at his death. It ended his life. Samson didn't live very long. Samson wasn't very well off, was he? And there's a transfer of spirit. You just don't mess with those things, folks. You just don't mess with them. I'm going to give you a New Testament type talking about Paul and Timothy. Paul and Timothy. And just write down Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. I'm going to read to you verse 20. He says, Paul says here, and he's talking to the church at Philippi, and he's going to send to them Timothy. And he says, I have no one else of a kindred spirit. I have no one else that's got a spirit like me. There's no one else that I can send to you that I've put my spirit on but Timothy. I'm going to send you to Timothy with a kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. Now, I want to say just a few things from this point. Do you know that churches really need ministries that are genuinely concerned for the people? And Paul says that's so important. He says, now I can send a lot of folks. He says, but I can't send you anybody that's got my spirit but Timothy. And what churches do today, and I'm trying not to be negative, but it's just wrong, they go hire them a preacher. Now, they don't know what spirit that guy's got. Do you think it's really important where the Bible says, know those who labor among you? Do you think that's really important? Because you see, if you sit here in this church and you sit in this ministry, whether you like it or not, you're going to get my spirit. And whatever I've got is all I can give. I can't give you something that I haven't got. And whatever flaw is in me will come out with a good. That's why you need to pray for me. You need to pray and watch my life and pray that I stay before God and I keep myself clean by the blood of Jesus Christ and that I stay in the Word and prayer. You need to watch that. And one of the reasons that this church has done as well as it's done and has the spirit that you encounter when you come to this church is because, and Duran was one of the reasons that he came to this church. He says the leadership, they don't live it like this on Sunday, and then you find them out at the clubs on Saturdays and Fridays. They do what they do on Sundays all during the week. And you folks are so responsive to the Word of God. And when we call you down to pray over you and put hands on you, you most of you flock down here because you want what these men have got. Now, you might not know why you come, but you want what these men have got on your life. Your spirit is crying out for what these men of God have, and that's what you're after. And that's one reason that God has so blessed us is because we've tried to bring forth the right kind of a spirit. When you come here, that's what you experience. You experience our spirits because that's what is here. Is that all right? Now, it's the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know what I'm saying, don't you? I don't have to spend a lot of time here. It's the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ and His love. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that don't go hire a pastor. You raise one up. Know those that labor among you. Know his flaws. Know his weakness. Pray for him. Uplift him. Know that he's a man of God and spend time in prayer and the Word of God. Know those that labor among you. He says, I don't have anybody I can send you with a spirit like mine but Timothy. Look with me in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 15. We're just about done. Tonight, we'll be on the same thought, except tonight, I'll be talking about the transference of the spirits of the principalities to people. There is a power over this area. There's a power over every area. There is a demon assigned, and we know that from Daniel. There's a demon assigned to every area. And it transfers itself and manifests itself in people. I want to talk about that some tonight. I want to talk about some things about the transference in the realm of the Spirit some more tonight. Maybe the laying on of hands and get into that just a little bit deeper. And here in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is here teaching about the resurrection. He's teaching about the resurrection. The whole chapter is about the resurrection. And what's amazing, right in the smack dab in the middle, right in the middle of where he's teaching about the resurrection, look at verse 33 and 34. Right in the middle of where he's talking about the resurrection, he comes out with this. Verse 33 of 1 Corinthians 15. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Say that back to me. Bad company corrupts good morals. One more time. Bad company corrupts good morals. Now, that's kind of amazed me. He's right in the middle of a teaching, and he says, you know, why all of a sudden does Paul just jump in here and say that bad company corrupts good morals? Read on, verse 34. Become sober-minded. How many remember the message that we did about tying up your mind? Girding up your mind. Remember the refrigerator message? Maybe you remember it that way. Gird up your mind. He says, tie up your mind. Be sober. Be sober. Become sober-minded as you ought, and do what? Stop sinning. Can you associate the stop sinning with bad company? Bad company will lead us to sin. When you hang around bad company, you're heading for sin. And that's why we started this thing with in Proverbs. What's waiting for you is folly. What's waiting for you is bad things. And when we hang around bad company, then we're coming to sin. Become sober-minded as you ought, and stop sinning. For some have no knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. Folks, listen. If you can hear what I'm saying, you need to be ashamed. We need to be ashamed. I need to be ashamed when I keep company with bad company. And Paul says, you need to be ashamed. I don't speak this to boost you up. I'm telling you, you ought to be ashamed of it. Because it can have no positive thing on your life. It's going to bring you to a bad place. So what do I do? What do I do? How do I stop and check? And you should know you immediately. The Holy Spirit should be dealing with us and showing us if there's people that we keep company with that we maybe not need to keep company with, or that our spouse, or that our husband, or that our children. What do we do? What do we do? I want to give you five quick things. Number one, first of all, we must realize there really is a transference of spirits, no matter what we think. You got to realize that there really is a transference of spirit. Now, most of us don't want to think that anybody really has that much influence on our life. We don't want to think that we can just get around somebody and their spirit get on us. We don't want to think that. But I've shown you early in this message that when your children play with the wrong kind of people, your children become wrong. And I want you to see just as surely, and you'll know if you talk to negative people, you become negative. If you get around people that sin, you will sin. And you got to understand what's happening is there's a spiritual transference that's coming upon you, whether you want to believe it or whether you don't, whether it fits in your theology or whether it doesn't. It's real, and it happens. Now listen, there was a man named Galileo, and he proved that the world was round. He did. But the church at that day didn't want to accept the world was round. They wanted the world to be flat because their theology said there had to be four corners. Now, is the world round or is the world flat? I'm trying to show you something, folks. It doesn't matter what we think. If the Word of God says it, we better adhere to it and do it. The Word of God also talks about the world being round. And you got to understand the principles of the four corners. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is that if your theology doesn't meet this, then you need to pray and seek out these things to see if they be so. First thing you got to understand is this is real. And you get around people, they're going to get on you. Second thing you need to understand I'm going to read you a scripture from Romans chapter 16, and then I'll tell you the point. It says, "Now I urge you, brethren," Romans 16, verse 17 and 18, if you're writing it down. "I urge you, brethren, keep your eye," King James says, "mark those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teachings which you learned, and turn away from them." He goes on to say in verse 18, "They deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting." You've got to understand there are some people you cannot be around. And you got to keep an eye on them. You got to mark them and avoid them. And if you don't do that, then their spirit's going to get on you. Now, if you don't want to get that off of you, and you want to be what they are, then be around them. Because it will happen to you. First thing, you got to know that it's real. When you get around these folks, and you know it's true because you're children, you know it's true because of your life, the first thing you know is it's real. Second thing you know is that you got to mark them. You got to identify those. I do not want that on me. I do not want that spirit on me. And you avoid them. Third thing, you seek wholesome Christian fellowship. First of all, you got to know it's real. Second of all, mark those that you don't want to be alike. Thirdly of all, seek those that you do want to be like. Seek wholesome Christian fellowship. Read in Acts chapter 2, verse 46. "And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple," say in the temple, "in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart." We got to learn to spend time with people we want to be like. We have got to get out of a me, mine, I attitude and begin to find people that we want to be like and spend time with them and fellowship with them. The apostles would go around and they would be invited and people would spend time with them and there would be a transference of spirits. And the Bible says they were in one mind. One mind. First thing is what? You better know it's real. Second thing, mark those. Third thing, seek Christian fellowship. Number four, submit to your leadership. Oh boy. Reading Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Now you can't do this. You cannot do this if you don't understand that it is for your good. I can never submit to anybody if I think they're making me submit. But if I understand that it is for my good, and it benefits me, and it will bring God's blessings upon me, then I'll be able to do it. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 says this, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those," listen, "who will give an account." Do you realize that there is a day that I will have to give an account for you? Whether you want me to be your leader or not, God's put you here and He's put me here and this is the way that it is. And I'm going to have to give an account. And then He goes on from that and He says, "As those who will give an account, let them do this with joy and not with grief." Why? "For this would be unprofitable," not for me, but for you. "This would be unprofitable for you." Now, you got to understand that the reason that we say these things and teach these things is not to profit us. Of course, it makes it a whole lot. It's a lot more fun to do this in joy than it is with grief. A whole lot more. I've done both, and I like joy better. But what I'm wanting you to see is it's for our good. It's for our corporate body good. It's for your good, so the blessings of God can come upon you. And it's for my good that I can do it with joy. It's for our good. And that's why we do it. Number four, you've got to learn that if I come to you and I say, there is an unholy relationship here. There's a bad situation, and you need to avoid this particular person or this particular group or this particular activity in your life. You have got to learn that I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for you. And it's to protect you. It's to help you. Number one is what? Know it's real. Number two, mark those that cause divisions and avoid them. Number three, seek Christian fellowship. Number four, submit to your leadership. And then number five, give no place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27 says that, and give no place to the devil. That's all it says, and give no place to the devil. I'm going to read what I've written. You know when you are placing yourself in a wrong atmosphere. We all know that, don't we? We know when we're someplace that we shouldn't be. We know when we're in a wrong atmosphere. Now, I have explained to you what happens when you're in a wrong atmosphere. If you do this, You are giving place to the devil and giving him the right to attack you, your home, your family, your church, your finances. If you put yourself in a place and you give a place to the devil, then you are saying, here I am. Take your best shot. And I said one day, Lord, give us a devil to fight with. And you did not like that. Give me a devil. That's what I said, wasn't it? It wasn't long after that, I had a kidney stone. Whoa. All right? I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that anymore. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that when you put yourself in a place where you know you shouldn't be, you are putting your place where the devil is. And you're saying, take your best shot. Here I am. Let's see if we got them. Number one is what? Know it's real. Number two, mark those that cause divisions. Avoid them. Number three, seek wholesome Christian fellowship. Number four, submit to your leadership, folks. You've got to learn to trust us. You've got to learn to trust us. Number five, give no place to the devil. If you'll do that, I promise you, you will have guarded yourself, you'll have guarded your family, you'll have guarded your finances, you'll have guarded the blessings of God, and they can activate on your life. I want you to stand. Everybody say, the transfer of spirits is real. I really do want you to understand that. This is as real as anything I've ever taught you. This is as real as John 3:16. And you know it's real. Now, with your heads bowed, this is ministered to you. And you would say, Pastor, there really are some people that I need to avoid, that I need to stay away from. Because I've been giving myself to a place. I've been giving the devil a place in my life. And I've seen that there's been a transfer of spirit on my life. And I see what you're saying. And I want to do something about it. Would you raise your hand? Would you just show me? Okay. You mean I've just preached to three people today? Huh? Let's try it one more time. This is ministered to you. And you see, I'll leave off that you're involved in this. This is ministered to you. And you see that you need to avoid some things and watch and guard your life. Would you raise your hand? Okay. That's what I want to say. Know that I've communicated with you. All right. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I just pray.